The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. Good day, tokers and tokats. Welcome. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, September 27th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us here. We want to thank all of our VIP members who keep the Russ Belleville Show on the air and keep 420radio.org free for everyone who wants to listen to it. Thanks so much for your support. And in thanks for your support, starting next Monday, we bring you the return of Toker Talk Radio following this hour. Yes, you asked for it. You got it. The return of Toker Talk Radio next Monday. And we'll have our call-in number and get into some deeper conversations on the issue of marijuana legalization and other subjects as well. It's not just about toking. It's Toker Talk Radio, which means we can talk about anything we want so long as we're all tokers. So check that out starting next week. Also, starting this Sunday, you'll get to catch the newest episode at its new time of A Different View with Jen and Iva. It'll be 2 o'clock Pacific time, followed by the new episode of The Libra Lounge at 3 o'clock. So check that out, the live episode of A Different View this Sunday at 2 o'clock. We'll have a whole bunch of schedule changes as well, so you'll want to check out our Google Calendar, our schedule up at 420radio.org. I'll be working on the programming all this weekend, so make sure to check back in. We got some old favorite shows coming back like Canna Truths. We got some new shows like Cannabis Network Radio. All the details will be on 420radio.org. Also, big thanks to our newest sponsors, LushLEDLighting.com. Thank you for supporting us. Omar Figueroa has been supporting us for a long time. FiredUpLawyer.com. Lauren Vasquez helping us keep all of the legal documents in order. And the National Cannabis Coalition, which has done some more support of the Russ Belleville Show. You can now text Russ to 420-420, and that will help to support the Russ Belleville Show. It's free to text Russ to 420-420. Now, on today's show, we've got Danny Danko from High Times Magazine joining us in the Cultivator's Corner. He'll take your live cultivation questions at 971-533-7111 or through our chat room. We've also got time for a radical rant today. I'm going to look through a couple of documents that I looked at, a year or two ago, predictions from the No on I-502 people of all the terrible things that would happen if we legalized marijuana in Washington State. We'll give you the top 10 predictions that did not come true. Also, a look at protecting your grow and what not to do, and the 420 headlines, and Herb Thrasher with some Metallica for us. Stay tuned. Lots of stuff.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Store. Three bombs.
I don't know that group. Are they punk rock?
No, it's not a musical group. Look here. Bong. Bong. one for Natalie, and we brought one for you, too. Yeah, we're a three-bottle family.
Girls, do you know what these are used for?
Sure, you put jelly beans in them. I'm gonna put root beer in mine. It comes with a built-in straw.
I don't like to look a gift bong in the mouth, but why did you girls buy these?
Well, we figured if we couldn't be in the group, at least we'd have the same stuff.
You mean the girls in the group have these?
Well, I don't know about all of them, but I saw one in Tumpy's room.
Tumpy? Oh, girls, what people use these for is smoking marijuana.
Marijuana?
Oh, I could wring their necks. How could they sell this garbage to kids? There ought to be a law.
We didn't know what it was for.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the girls in the group did. Now, girls, not a word about this to anyone until we talk to Mr. Bradley.
There's gonna be trouble. Make that a duck.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, September 27th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Representatives urge new direction with new drug czar pick from stopthedrugwar.org. Five Democratic members of Congress are calling on President Obama to use the naming of a new drug czar as an opportunity to take a big step toward fully embracing a drug policy based on science, reason, and facts. The five representatives made their call in a letter sent to the White House Thursday. The congressman wrote, quote, "We urge you to nominate a new director for ONDCP who will develop policies based on science rather than ideology and move away from the failed policy of criminalizing marijuana. The new director should promote fact-based education and use medical science and behavioral research to end the questionable practice of equating marijuana with dangerous drugs like heroin, crack, and methamphetamine," end quote. The signatories are U.S. Representatives Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee, Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of Oregon, Sam Farr, Democrat of California, Mark Pocan, Democrat of Wisconsin, and Jared Polis, Democrat of Colorado. They also wrote, quote, "We ask that you break from this tradition and nominate someone with a background in science, particularly in light of the rapidly growing public support for marijuana legalization and broader drug policy reform. It would be a mistake for you to appoint someone who merely continues to prosecute the failed war on drugs," end quote. Kentucky hemp farmers chance prosecution, from State Journal. Farmers who plant industrial hemp in Kentucky soil risk prosecution regardless of a U.S. Department of Justice memo on federal marijuana enforcement issued earlier this year, Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway said Wednesday. Regardless, the Kentucky Industrial Hemp Commission will continue its effort to launch a hemp licensing program, said Holly Harris, Chief of Staff for Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner James Comer. Comer criticized Conway's opinion, saying the Attorney General, quote, "is wrong to threaten to prosecute farmers." Quote, "Hemp is legal in Kentucky, and the federal government has made it clear that it is not going to prosecute farmers for growing hemp," end quote, Comer said in a statement. But Conway disputed the department's interpretations. Quote, "I think it's irresponsible for anyone to take the Department of Justice's guidance, their guidance to prosecutors in states that have legalized marijuana, and to take that and contort it that suddenly industrial hemp is now legal in Kentucky," end quote, Conway said. Quote, "That's not the state of the law," end quote. Conway did not say whether he would pursue criminal cases against hemp farmers, but the opinion made plain that those who plant hemp seeds could wind up in court. Energy drinks and medical marijuana on the menu for the American Academy of Family Physicians. The AAFP Congress of Delegates on September 24th adopted an amended substitute resolution that directs the AAFP to work with the FDA to define stimulant drinks, to oppose the availability of free or discounted versions of stimulant products to individuals younger than 18, and to advocate for a ban on stimulant drinks for individuals younger than 18. Delegates chose to refer a resolution opposing legislative approval of smoked medical marijuana to the AAFP board, but they did adopt a substitute resolution supporting research into the potential therapeutic benefits of marijuana and expressing concern regarding the efficacy of smoked or burned marijuana as a therapeutic modality. Colorado marijuana attorney Robert Corey arrested for public pot smoking, from the Denver Post. Robert J. Corey, the marijuana activist and attorney who handed out free joints in Denver's Civic Center Park earlier this month, was arrested Wednesday for smoking marijuana in public. According to a police report, Corey and a woman were seen smoking a joint between a gate and the concourse at Coors Field during the Colorado Rockies game when officers approached. An officer asked Corey to hand over the joint, and Corey responded, quote, "No, I don't have to. It's legal," end quote, according to the report. Corey also cursed at officers, refused to comply with orders, and told one officer, quote, "You're a stupid cop. You are going to make this easy for me. You can't search me. It's only a citation," end quote, the report states. Corey, age 46, was arrested on suspicion of public consumption of marijuana and disobedience to a lawful order, according to the report. He could not immediately be reached for comment. In the Wednesday arrest, Corey told an officer, quote, "I bet I'm a big trophy for you," end quote, according to the report. When the officer said he didn't know who Corey was and Corey explained, the officer responded that Corey should have known it remains illegal in Colorado to consume marijuana in public. Corey replied, "Yeah," according to the report. And finally, in entertainment, Miley Cyrus admits marijuana use in a quote with the October 10 issue of Rolling Stone. She says, quote, "Weed is so much better. It's the best drug on earth," end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, September 27, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines on a story this morning from Portland, Oregon, of a man who stabbed a teenager trying to rip off his marijuana crop. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up! Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit. Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And this morning, my local newspaper, the Oregonian here in Portland, reported a story of a 48-year-old man who stabbed a 16-year-old. And what had happened is the teenager had jumped the middle-aged man's fence and was trying to steal some of his pot plants. Now the middle-aged man is facing charges of attempted murder, assault, felon in possession of a firearm, and unlawful manufacture of marijuana within 1,000 feet of a school. Which, by the way, 1,000 feet of a school means in a city. Pretty much. Anywhere you live in any major American city, you're probably within 1,000 feet of something that's considered a school. Regardless, according to the report, the police report, the man found the teenager in his backyard attempting to steal plants. And so they got in a fight, they struggled, and the man stabbed the teen multiple times in the chest and back. The neighbors then reported it because they saw a bloody teenager stagger out from this guy's lawn and then collapse in the street. This is this morning, just this morning in Portland. So they call 911 and the cops arrive. And as soon as the cops arrive, the man who stabbed the kid barricades himself in the home for hours
And, of course, the cops, they bring out the SWAT teams. They surround the house. They shut down the streets. They scare the hell out of everybody in the neighborhood. They lock down the schools if they're nearby. You know, big hassle for everyone involved. This guy locks himself down, barricades himself against the cops for a few hours before he finally surrenders. A teenager, of course, is at the Oregon Health Sciences University Hospital right now and is recovering. He's expected to live. Now, what disturbs me about this story is the man is a registered medical marijuana patient and, according to the story, reportedly had, quote, more than 320 mature marijuana plants and nearly 170 immature ones, end quote. Now, our medical marijuana law here in the state of Oregon is pretty generous for patients, but it's not that generous. You're legally entitled to grow 6 mature plants, not 320, and 18 immature plants, not 170. This guy's way over his limits, right? But that's not the part that bugs me. It bugs me a little bit when I see people grossly, you know, abusing the medical marijuana law, obviously for commercial purposes. I mean, there's no way 320 mature plants for this guy was for personal use, right? So that bugs me a little bit because it just makes it that much harder for the next state that wants to try to pass medical marijuana when they look west and they say, oh, yeah, sure, it's medical. Here's a guy, you know, covering up his pot grow or whatever, right? But that's not the part that bugs me the most because, I mean, criminals are criminals. They're going to do criminal things, right? They're going to break laws. They're going to find loopholes. They're going to do that kind of stuff. Can't really prevent that. And really, why should we work so hard to prevent that? Because, I mean, the guy probably would have been growing illegally anyway. And why should patients suffer just because of this guy? No, that's not the part that bugs me the most. The part that bugs me the most is the greed. The greed involved here. Over 300 mature plants. And this guy just had to stab the teenager. Was he worried the kid was going to steal all the plants? I mean, how much can this kid carry anyway? 320 mature plants. He's not going to quickly and easily get away with them all. Sure, the kid might have cut down a few stalks, might have grabbed 6, maybe a dozen of the plants. You got 320 of them, dude. Jeez, how much weed do you need? Folks, no pot plant is ever worth another human being's life. This goes for not just the actions you take after someone or during someone is ripping off your plants, but it also has to do with what protections you might do for your garden. Yes, put a fence around it. Yes, get some cameras and motion-sensitive lights and all that kind of stuff, but not booby traps. I mean, if you shoot or stab a ripper or you build a booby trap to hurt a ripper, the only good that's going to do is get you some more serious charges added to your trial if you're ever caught. Or worse, the booby trap could kill you. I did a story just a couple of weeks ago on a New York man who decapitated himself because he was riding his tooling around on his ATV and forgot about the piano wire that he strung up across the road and took his head off. Of course, we all have to remember the long view on this, and that is the ultimate culprit here is marijuana prohibition itself. Under legalization, this man's pot-growing business wouldn't be hidden in a residential neighborhood. It wouldn't be defended by the owner full of greed and paranoia and trying to protect himself with guns and knives. He'd be licensed. He'd be zoned. He'd be in a place where he can conduct his business legally. And if there are any disputes, if there are any problems, we can solve that in a court of law with lawyers. We can call the cops if there's a problem. If someone's trying to rip it off, we can call the cops. And the invitation for the theft itself wouldn't be so inviting, right? The pot wouldn't be so potentially lucrative that it would invite teenagers to come jump the fence and try to rip it off. I mean, I haven't read any stories lately about a man stabbing a kid who's trying to steal his cases of home-brewed beer. And if anyone was sneaking in, if the kids do sneak into the legal marijuana field, you don't have to defend it with guns and knives. You can call the cops. So prohibition is the ultimate culprit in this story that has led one man to now facing charges that'll probably put him away for the rest of his life. He's 48 now, right? And led to another young man, a kid, a teenager, getting stabbed and risking his life over weed. No weed is worth a human life. Don't booby trap your crops. Don't use force to try to take on a ripper, prevent a ripoff. You're better off losing an entire garden than having to go through the legal system, or worse, live with the guilt of killing someone. All right, folks, so protect your plants. You know, get yourself some video security, get yourself some fencing, have someone on site at all times. And most of all, work hard to make it legal.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky roller ring, roller ring, roller ring.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for some Rockin' Friday music. And at this time, Herb Thrasher would normally be on the line, but he's not right now. And I don't know if you guys know this, but he calls in from work. He's got a day job, and he calls in 20 after from his Friday work, gets away from the desk, and maybe he just wasn't able to get away from the desk at this time. So we'll just go ahead with the Rockin' Friday tune that we've got online for you. This is Metallica with For Whom the Bell Tolls Live, Cliff Amahl. I know he's got an important reason this needed to be played, but I don't know enough about Metallica to tell you what it is. I'm sure it has something to do with Cliff. So we'll get that from him on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific, live, 2 hours of rock and metal. So check it out. Here you go. Here's your Rockin' Friday tune, a little bit of Metallica.
We all know Cliff Burton over here. Everyone, hi Cliff, how you doing?
We'll be right back. Yeah, I watch MTV all the time. They have the Rock Against Drug commercials, that whole campaign. And these guys have, like, you know, slid into fucking school buses and killed 20 children. You know. Rather than facial license, they made a public service announcement. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. I love these guys that are like, hello, listen, don't get caught with drugs or you'll have to do a commercial just like this one. I think I found the message. The message is don't get caught. Rock Against Drugs. What a fucking name. Somebody was high when they came up with this title. Yeah. It's like Christians Against Christ. Rock created drugs. What are they talking about? They go together, folks.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Danny Danko on the normal radio. Free weed. Free weed. Oh, yo. Danny Danko come to show you how it goes.
Ah, you know what that means. It's time for our Cultivator's Corner segment. Every fourth Friday of the month, we visit with High Time Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko, who I understand is on the golf links today. How you doing, Danny? Hello, Danny. We got you. Are you there? Having some trouble getting Danny on the line. Let's try that call once again. I knew he was golfing, so he might not have heard the ring while he's out there on the links, but we'll see if we can get a hold of him out there. Of course, High Times Magazine getting ready for the Amsterdam Cannabis Cup coming up November 24th through the 28th, Thanksgiving week.
Hello.
Hey, Danny. It's Russ.
Hey, how are you, Russ?
I'm doing good. How's your golf game?
I'm good. We just played the front nine. It's just pitch and putt out here in Flushing, Queens, but it's fun.
All right. Sounds excellent. Sounds like a good way to spend a Friday. Hey, before we get to any of our grow questions, I wanted to give you a chance to let folks know about the upcoming High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. I mean, with all the cannabis cups we've had here in America, what's going to be the difference there in Amsterdam?
Well, the difference is we've 5 days and four nights over there. There's that whole coffee shop scene where people can go in and order off the menu and you don't need a doctor's license or any kind of permission to participate. You can get a nice full store in city.
Oh, no, Danny, we lost the call. I can imagine out there in the golf course, it's going to be kind of difficult to maintain a connection. We'll try him back right here. But, yeah, as he mentioned, the High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam, 5 days, 4 days, five nights. It's an amazing event. Of course, you get the coffee shop scene. And
hello?
Hey, Danny, we got you back there.
Hey, sorry about that. I'm not sure where you lost me, but I guess I was just saying that Amsterdam is a very unique city in the way that they tolerate cannabis usage in the coffee shop scene. And I call it marijuana fantasy camp because you actually get to hang out with a lot of the people over there who've done the seed breeding since the 80s and 90s and into more recent years and created all these strains that have won cannabis cups. So, I think it's a very unique event. Even though we do, these weekend cups in the U.S., I think the Amsterdam Cannabis Cup coming up, the 26th annual, it's just an epic, kind of flagship of Cannabis Cup events.
Yeah, and I understand another major difference between the Amsterdam Cup and all the U.S. Cups is that you can become a judge, where the U.S. Cups are all kind of celebrity judge panels.
Right, absolutely. The actual Cannabis Cup is judged on by, all of our attendees who go around to all the different coffee shops and get to sample the entries, and then they judge. On the last couple of days, they enter their picks, and that's who actually wins the Cannabis Cup. And then we also have a panel that judges the the seed company entries as well. And another unique thing that they have over there that we don't get much of here is the import hash. I know everybody's all into the dabs and the solventless and all these things, but you know, there's something to be said for the Moroccan and the Indian and the Nepalese and all the wonderful import hashes that you get. It's very easy to get a hold of over there, over the counter from coffee shops.
Excellent. And of course, you know, even just going to Europe and experiencing a city like Amsterdam is well worth it, in addition to being able to see the Cannabis Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the museums are incredible if you're into, you know, Van Gogh or Vermeer or any of the classic Dutch painters. Many of those reside there. And they recently reopened the Rijksmuseum. And, you know, it's a beautiful and very historic city with a history of trade and tolerance. And, you know, they're merchants at heart. And I think that they have the idea that if people are going to consume something or if they're going to visit, you know, prostitutes that some people go to the red light district for, it's going to happen. So why don't we, you know, basically make a place for it and tolerate it. And I think it's a much more, sorry, there's an airplane flying over me right now.
Well, that's okay. The other thing we noticed is, I gotta say, the other thing we noticed with Holland is it's much lower rates of hard drug use and youth marijuana use, or even because of the tolerance.
I think it's because of the tolerance, because it's not an illicit thing. The youth over there don't view marijuana smoking as a way to rebel against their parents, and much in the same way that French kids grow up, you know, with like a little water mixed with wine and things like that. They don't have binge drinking because of it. So I think, yeah, the tolerance has led to a decrease in use. We actually have a lot of coverage right now on our website of different things to do in Amsterdam, different strains that have won the cup, places that are besides coffee shops that you can visit. So, you know, I definitely want people to check that out. We're really ramping up our Amsterdam coverage.
Yeah, check out hightimes.com. A lot of great articles up there on the Amsterdam coverage and some videos as well. Now, we do have some questions coming in from our chat room, and we've also got our phone lines open at 971-533-7111. Our first question comes from Speed Limit, who wants to know, are you aware of any studies of LED and high-pressure sodium being used together?
Absolutely. A lot of people these days, in the larger rooms where heat can be a serious issue, are basically checkerboarding their high-pressure sodium lights with LEDs in between. And by checkerboarding, what I mean is, you know, they put them in opposite each other in the room. So if there's eight lights, they're going to have four high-pressure sodiums and four LEDs in that checkerboard pattern. And in that way, they can reduce the electrical costs and reduce the heat while still kind of getting the best of both of the benefits of that type of lighting, because they're all blending together. So I feel like, you know, that type of mixed spectrum is going to result in better terpene production, which is really ultimately what we're after.
All right. Here's a question from Howdy Y'all, which is pretty appropriate for where you're at. Are there cannabis-friendly golf courses for growing and use?
Well, growing, I don't think you're really going to get away with that on a golf course. They're pretty well maintained by, you know, crews of people who maintain, you know, the grounds. But as far as smoking, I mean, there's varied levels of tolerance. I'm sure there's plenty of private clubs that don't tolerate it at all. But one of the good things about, you know, golfing and smoking is you're out in, you know, the parkland, and you're pretty far away from anybody who might object, and if they do, you got a lot of time to sort of put things out or take care of what you need to take care of.
All right. And I wonder, you know, now that Colorado and Washington have legalized marijuana, you know, they both still have rules against public smoking, but I wonder if a private golf club could then allow smoking out there.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. I was interested in that article, you know, about the Michigan hotels that was allowing smoking, and I think that there's some hotels there that are attached to golf clubs that could probably use the business. So we're really of the mindset that we'd love to put together some kind of a High Times Invitational tournament and do that. We're actually doing an online version. If people are interested, they can tweet us at High Times Mag, and they can find out about different invitational, not even online tournaments. You actually play the course, and then we just compare scores. And, hopefully, we're hoping people will participate in that as well, and that'll generate some more interest in us actually doing a live tournament at some point.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun. All right, we got a question here from Ty Combe, who wants to know, do you notice a difference between bud dried whole and then dry trimmed versus wet trimmed and then dried?
I do notice a difference. I think, the stuff that's dried and then trimmed after it's dried tends to be a little leafier, I think, because a lot of times the leaves that you would be trimming off actually curl in and sort of cover up the buds. And some people like that because it sort of protects the bud, and then they take that off before they grind up their buds. But the truth is, I think I prefer the wet trim and then dried because there's still plenty of moisture left inside, and I don't think the extra moisture that you gain from drying that much slower is actually going to be beneficial. So I say trim whole branches. I'm sorry, there's another airplane. I would say trim whole branches and then hang them to dry, and then once they're dry, trim the buds off and put them in jars for curing.
All right, and we have a thank you for Danny Danko from our own Lively Libra, who wants to thank you for going out of your way at the 420 Boston Tree Party to give me your reject cookie. Apparently it worked well for the flight.
Well, that's great. Yeah, it was wonderful to actually meet her face-to-face and hear her inspiring story of basically coming out of the cannabis closet and committing to the cause and stuff. And it was, very sort of moving to hear that story and of her son as well.
Yeah. We have a question from KEH1223. What kind of THC percentage could a novice grower expect to produce?
I'm sorry, can you say that one again?
Said, what kind of THC percentage could a novice grower expect to produce? I mean, I guess there's a lot of variables in that question.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables, but whatever the plant is capable of, you're capable of producing. So if a strain is testing at 20% THC and everything goes properly, you should be getting 20% THC buds from that grow. The variables are light and heat and making sure that the plant is healthy at all times. But if that's the case, a novice grower can get the same percentages as the grower who wins the cannabis cup.
Okay, so a novice grower could, take a strain to its full potential, but do you find...
Absolutely. It's genetically based, yeah. So if they have the right genetics and they grow it properly, they're going to get, the full potential.
So how much, let's try and rephrase this a little, how much drop-off in THC percentage could there be from not properly growing a plant?
Oh, I mean all the way down to zero if things go, really south. But, anywhere, depending on, let's say that there's lights that are too close to the buds and they end up burning the tops, there'll be buds lower down that'll have the regular percentage of whatever's there. And then there'll be buds that were burned at the top that would certainly test much lower. Hmm. So, I would say that there's a lot of variables. But if the plant is healthy, it's going to produce the amount of THC that you're used to getting out of those genetics.
Okay, well, that sounds about right to me. As far as there's so many variables involved there, I don't think. Of course, the skill of the grower is going to make some difference, but it's not going to make all the difference. That's about all the time we got here for our Cultivator's Corner with Danny Danko. But if you want more expert growing opinion, make sure you check out Free Weed with Danny Danko, replaying here on 420 Radio and available at hightimes.com/freeweed. Got a new episode coming up?
Absolutely. We actually are about to put a new episode up if it hasn't already gone up. It's the first panel that I did in Seattle at that Cannabis Cup. with DJ Short and Kyle Cushman and Kenny from Trichome, and I believe Swerve was on that panel as well. So yeah, we're excited to put that up and hope people enjoy that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Danny, and good luck on the back nine.
All right. Thanks for having me. And four, 20.
All right. Thanks so much. Hey, when we come back, time for a radical rant. We're going to talk about the top 10 scaremongerings of the No on I-502 campaign that didn't come true. Be right back.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department is continuing to put people in jail for sale and use on occasion of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, and hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do so.
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're parked, man.
Take a little trip. Take a little trip.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley. Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Well, you remember how much fun we had last year as the campaign was wrapping up and we were about to vote on marijuana legalization in Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. I remember it quite well because there were a whole bunch of people who smoke pot, people who make money selling pot, just north of me in Washington State, who were campaigning against the I-502 legalization. And I've been going over some of my older writing, and I found some of the articles they had written for the No on I-502 cause. This includes articles from Steve Sarich, the campaign head for No on I-502, Sensible Washington, which was a group campaigning for a competing initiative, and a certain blogger who shall not be named. So I went through these old documents, and I found the top 10 No on I-502 scares that did not come true. Here we go. Number one.
You'd better hope some redneck cop with an attitude about stoners doesn't pull you over on the way home. Or worse yet, sit there waiting to shoot hippie fish in a barrel as they leave Hempfest, just pulling them over as they leave.
Well, as a matter of fact, the King County Sheriffs, that's King County, Washington, that's where Seattle is, the big metro area, right? The King County Sheriffs did an enhanced DUI patrol for the Seattle Hemp Fest. It began on August 16th, the day Hemp Fest began, and it ran through September 2nd throughout the county. They ended up stopping and arresting 292 people for drug and alcohol DUIs. Now, I didn't separate which ones were drugs, which ones were alcohol, or which ones were marijuana, but total, 292 people. Now, the year before, during the same time period, the beginning of Hemp Fest to the beginning of September, before I-502 passed with its terrible 5-nanogram DUID law, cops nabbed 374 people, 82 more. So it looks like the hippie fish are swimming quite well, or the sheriffs are lousy shots. Number two, as far as carrying around an ounce of marijuana and not being concerned with arrest, unless you bought that ounce at a state licensed store, you'd still get busted.
Nobody in the state of Washington has been arrested for holding less than an ounce of marijuana, even though no state licensed stores exist yet. Number three. If you took Emery at his word and happily passed what you believed to be that gloriously legal joint to your buddy, after all, Mark Emery said it was okay, then you'd get your ass busted for distribution. As far as I'm aware, nobody in Washington has been busted for joint passing distribution. I saw thousands of such distribution crimes happening in open, in full view of the police at Hempfest. Now, maybe someone's been arrested for it somewhere, but that distribution law existed before I-502. Number four. If that bag in your pocket contained a crumb over 40 grams, not that unusual for some of us, you could be busted for felony possession. Well, since 40 grams was a felony before I-502, that seems kind of irrelevant. But what isn't irrelevant is that I-502 forced cops to retrain their drug dogs to not alert for marijuana since it's no longer contraband, which has doubtlessly benefited people holding over 40 grams. Number five. God help you if you accidentally pass the joint to a minor, by the way. Well, it seems kind of strange that the proponents of what they call true legalization were defending giving joints to kids. However, this too seems not to have materialized in any manner greater than it existed before I-502. I mean, I'm sure there were plenty of people under the age of 20 mingling with people over the age of 20 at Hempfest, but again, I didn't see any arrests. Number six, it would take away the rights of individuals to cultivate their own medicine. Well, every patient who was cultivating marijuana as medicine before I-502 is still doing so after. Now, recreational consumers can't grow their own, but they couldn't before I-502 either. Number seven. The feds have made it clear they will intervene if states enact legalization measures. Do we really need more raids and negative attention for cannabis? Well, the feds have just recently made it clear that they will not interfere in state legalization measures, and it appears that non-interference may carry over to medical marijuana. The feds, in fact, are working to undercut mandatory minimum sentencing, and they're working to undercut anti-drug banking regulations solely to help the marijuana industry. And they only made these moves because of states enacting legalization measures. Number eight, I-502 will increase the cost of medicine by 50% to 75%. Well, I live up here in the Pacific Northwest, and I can tell you Washington State still has some of the lowest prices for an ounce of quality marijuana in the United States. Estimates of the recreational costs of marijuana that would exceed $17 a gram once the pot shops opened in 2014, those estimates got a lot of media coverage. But few people actually read the report. I did, because you know me, I look shit up. That $17 per gram estimate is based on both the processor and the retailer, each taking a 100% or double your money markup. Now, when Botec, the firm that made the estimates, used the average processor markup of a dairy, 34%, and the average markup that you'd find at a retailer like a liquor store, 31%. When they ran the estimates with more realistic numbers of what a markup really would be, they came up with an estimated $7.46 per gram, putting the price of an ounce around $210, which is about what it costs on the recreational black market in Washington now. Number nine, I-502 maintains current criminal penalties for adults under 21 while imposing a new zero-tolerance DUI law. Right, but people under 21 couldn't use marijuana before I-502. And as for the zero-tolerance DUI law if you're under the age of 21,
How did all those under 21 tokers manage to drive away from Seattle Hempfest and escape the enhanced DUI patrols, since 82 fewer people were arrested for DUI, like we mentioned earlier? And number 10, when people understand how states cannot create laws that conflict with federal laws, they will realize that all Washington State will be left with if I-502 passes is the DUI and the right to possess an ounce of cannabis, 16 ounces of food products, or 72 ounces of infused liquids. Gosh, is that all? Said recreational cannabis users in 48 other states. Just the legal right to possess cannabis and a per se DUID statute that's better than 11 other states? As the feds, faced with a state conflict to federal laws, are helping to enable those laws to function? As fewer people are being arrested for DUI? And as we await next year's FBI Uniform Crime Report to learn how many fewer people in Washington got arrested for marijuana possession? Gee, what a terrible outcome we've all suffered from not heeding the predictions from No on I-502. That's all the time we got for the Radical Rant, and we got a little time for bonus video from Portland Hemp Stock, some information you all need to know. This is attorney Paul Loney with Know Your Rights.
Well, let us celebrate House Bill 3460. It is allowing more transparency and freedom. It is helping us in our markets, right, folks? Don't forget that. Woo! And so, however, our marijuana law is full of gray areas. Areas that we all have to be aware of. Remember, possessing and growing marijuana must be out of public view. Out of public view means out of public view. Not on your front porch, not in your car with the visor down, not in the parking lot of the concert. Or as Scott says, not here. You gotta be a professional about it. And we have to remember how to count, folks. There are no such thing as extra plants. There's no such thing as extra plants just in case your plant's herming or one dies. You know, your plant count is your plant count no matter what. And we have to know how to weigh. The police weigh everything, folks, including that bag of leaves you intended to compost. And please remember, your card does not protect you on federal land. You can and will get a citation that will cost you money and potentially your freedom. And your student aid if you're in college, just for simply possessing a single joint. So, and also, always, 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 remember the old TV ad, never leave home without your card. You never know when you have to prove that you're legal. So, do you want more freedom, folks? Who wants more freedom? Woo! All right, well, remember to register to vote and vote to legalize next fall. We're going to have a legalization measure on the ballot next fall, folks. We all have to register to vote and vote for it. Convince your neighbors to vote. Convince your family to vote. Vote for freedom. You don't say to folks, hey, vote to legalize. Vote for freedom. That's what it's all about. We're voting for freedom when we vote. Remember that. So, all right. And, you know, those of you who might have seen me before, remember, I have these four sayings that I'd like people to repeat after me when I say them. Because this is what you need to do when you have a police encounter. In your car, when you're walking, at your home. So I'll say them, and please repeat after me, because we all have to practice these. So when we're brushing our teeth, when we're walking down the street in our car, instead of sinking to the radio, practice these sayings. Am I free to go, officer? Wait, a little bit louder. Am I free to go, officer?
Am I free to go, officer?
I do not consent to any searches.
I do not consent to any searches.
I wish to speak to my attorney. I wish to remain silent. All right, folks, and one last thing. You know, I hope you pay attention, because I have T-shirts here. So who can say one of the four magic sayings? Who can say it? All right. What? What is it?
I do not consent to any searches or seizures. All
right. Where's mom? We'll be right back.
All right, that was Attorney Paul Loney here in Oregon at the Portland Hemp Stock telling you what you need to know. You need to know those four sayings. Have them so practiced that they just roll right off your tongue if you get any trouble with police. That's all the time we got for this week on the Russ Belville Show. Remember, next week, the new October lineup begins. I'll be busy all this weekend reprogramming the Liebermeter. Toker Talk Radio comes back. A Different View comes back. We've got Canna Truths making its way back in. Cannabis Network Radio, a new show, joins us. We got all that and more. New episodes of Lieber Lounge, the new Viper Hour on Monday night. We're going to be showing The Devil's Harvest. Going to have a lot of fun this fall and winter. Thanks for supporting us. Check out 420radio.org. Become a VIP supporter today. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.